was the weekend before Christmas, and all through the house. Oh, wait, there's nobody at the house. That's because Bruce Hood is going a million miles an hour, about 19 hours a day. Welcome to the broadcast, spotlighting Feed My Sheep Ministries in the city of Fresno. Bruce Hood, founder, director, all-around coordinator of everything that happens with the ministry. You have been one tough guy to nail down, especially this week. I think we've had like six different appointments to meet to record, and finally, here you are. I can't believe it. You're like Santa Claus arriving on early Christmas morning.
Well, what can I say again? It's Christmas time, and it's that time of year when it's just time to get up and get in the hustle, you know.
Hustle would be an understatement for you. I think you told me you've been, past couple of weeks, you've been getting to bed at 11 p.m. and up at 4 a.m.?
No, not every day, but most of the days, yeah. Christmas tree time, and not only Christmas tree time, it's toys for tots time, it's food time, it's a lot of emotional time for people. So my work is just cut out in November and December.
Yeah,
my work is cut out.
This coming from the man as if he takes the other 10 months of the year off, twiddling his thumbs on a beach in Jamaica or something. No, you go full bore. I think about the only vacation you really take is in summertime. I think you sneak away for 3 or 4 days to Pismo Beach, but even then, I think you take all your grandchildren with you, don't you?
No, there's one time out of the year that I go by myself.
Good.
And I just kick back in a motel room there and then go out on the beach and walk the beach and find me a place to pray and go back to the room and read the word and go back out again. I just spend the whole week like that.
Oh, that's good to hear. I wasn't aware of that. Good. I would anticipate that's probably coming up in the near future, isn't it?
Pretty soon, Ken. Pretty soon, I feel it coming.
Yep.
When I say I feel it coming, that means I'm getting tired.
No, you're not getting tired. You are tired.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, because you think about it, okay, springtime is kind of the warm-up to the events. It's where the things start getting coordinated. Summertime is full blast with car shows and block parties and going here and going there and overseeing the men's home, overseeing the women's shelter. And then after you wrap up all of the activities in like September and October of the summer months, bam, you're full-blown into Christmas trees and, like you said, toys for tots. You were telling me on the phone this morning, I wasn't aware because there's so many different facets to the ministry that you mentioned Toys for Tots, and I said, oh, well, will that be distributed at your church neighborhood? And you said, well, that and a few other places.
Yeah, actually, we will be distributing out 1,900 toys this year. We've got six apartments to go in where there's basically a low-income families, and a lot of children that probably wouldn't get nothing for Christmas. And we'll be distributing out those toys within those apartments and then also at our local church every year where we distribute.
Yeah, I guess the apartment complexes, I think you named about, what, a half a dozen of them?
Yeah, I think we got about six of them that we're going into. And like I say, all these are apartments where most people don't like a fixed income. Real low income.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to bring toys there for the children, some of them probably wouldn't get toys if we wasn't there.
No, right.
Some of them definitely, not probably, they wouldn't get toys.
Because,
yeah. You know, it's just the people, you know, that's poor like that, low income, they struggle with just the basics in life, everyday, you know, the everyday needs. And like I said, you know, there's times we've been inside of a family's apartments, and they have no furniture and not even a table. The table is like newspaper spread out on the floor. Mm. Is where they sit down and eat their meal from. And we found a lot of women just even have a struggle sometimes just getting like a little 99 cents a bottle of dishwashing liquid to wash their dishes, and it's reality they do, and it's sometimes us, we say like, huh? You know, because, yeah. You know, we just, some of us, we don't go through those things.
Yeah.
But there are families out there that actually go through struggles like it can. And I mean, you know, and we see it. We see it all the time because we out there. You know, and that's where we at all the time, out there in the highways and byways.
And those are the kind of folks and families you're connecting with, not only the Toys for Tots, but I guess, you do the food distribution to the needy families. That happens every single week of the year. But what other kind of things are you involved in in these hours leading up to Christmas?
Well, we got the toys what we've been giving out, and then food distribution. There's a lot of people going through a lot of emotional problems right now, Ken, and that's because Christmas brings on sometime like a burden, you could say. I don't want to call it a burden because Christmas is good. We celebrate the birth of our Savior, but you know there's people that really don't have not hit home with the reasons for the season. And so Christmas to them is all the commercial stuff.
Yeah.
And if all the commercial stuff is not there, well, then they don't understand the main reason for Christmas.
Right. Or they've seen TV shows or TV commercials or movies where you have the happy family all gathered around the table and everything is perfect, and they find themselves alone. Maybe they've lost loved ones in the past year. Maybe they're estranged from loved ones. And so they can feel like that they're the loneliest person in the world.
Yeah, it could be that. It could be lack of finances, no Christmas tree, no toys, no presents, no food, and all the things that we look to Christmas for. And then it also could be someone that they love is not there. You know, maybe a mom or dad, a husband or wife, a child. And so instead of Christmas being a joyful time to them, they're kind of grieving. So I'm getting a lot of that where I have to sit down and, you know, actually counsel with people and pray with them and, you know, and but that's part of the whole shebang, and so we just got to.
It's part and parcel of what you do. I mean, you're on the clock all the time, and you choose to do that. That's just what God put into you. So we're in the waning days and hours now of the Christmas tree lots in Fresno, and on the last week I said the west side of Kerman, the east side of Kerman. And how's the Christmas tree business been this year?
We've done very well. You know, we designated all the funds that the Christmas tree lot going to raise toward expanding our women's facility. Actually, you know, last year we happened to land Pastor Kruke's house, and that's with a five bedroom, so we can keep five families in that house. But we found out that that's not near enough room.
Yeah, and that was just this past summer. I remember the board voting on it to go ahead and purchase the house, and thank God, as you said, it opened up room for five women with children, but it's not nearly enough.
Not at all. Ken, I tell you, that thing stays packed full, and as the minute one woman moves out, there's someone else waiting at the front porch to move in. And it's just been like that. I get so many calls every day from Child Protective Services, Social Services, other agencies, just people in the community. And, you know, and I never knew that the need for shelter for homeless women and children was so great. But it is a great need out there. And I got a call, Ken, about a week ago. And when the woman called me, she was just crying on the phone. She was just crying. She said, me and my children got put out of the place we was at, and we're on the sidewalk right now. She said, I don't have nowhere to go. And we were packed full. I didn't have nowhere to put the woman at all. Right away, I wanted to take her to my own home. But I said, I can't do that. You know, I've done that before. and I've had problems from doing that. And so it wasn't nothing I could do but pray that God would open a door for her somewhere else. And I think he did, because she didn't call me back anymore.
Well, that's right. I remember you mentioned it. You said you gathered the funds to at least get them into a motel temporarily, but you never heard back.
Yeah, I never heard back from them. But I get calls like that all the time. And you can tell they're sincere, because you can hear the voice, and you can hear their cry. It's a real cry. And they you know, and they out there. Just think how any of us would feel if our children, not just, you know, I can deal with it myself. But if my children was on the sidewalk with nowhere to go, you know, that'd be probably one of the most awful feelings that I could ever feel. You know, I could deal with it, you know, some kind of way. I had dealt with it.
You're a veteran of the streets.
but I don't know how I could handle it with my children, you know, there and nowhere and nothing, you know. And so my heart goes out for women. And children. And Ken, I tell you, we having such a great time working with the women this year, because they go to church on Sunday. Most of them has gotten involved in the choir and doing things around the church. Every day they call me, ask Pastor Hood, what can we do today? Is there anything to do at the church? Is there anything to do down in the inner city? So we having a tough time keeping them busy. But they want to get involved. That's what I love about them. They want to get involved in God's work.
In fact, you told me, I thought that was pretty interesting, that the men's recovery home, obviously a blessing for the men who have the need. The women and children's shelter, obviously a blessing for them. But you said in this Christmas season that the men in the recovery home, they've been largely overseeing the Christmas tree sales, both in Fresno and Kerman. And the women at the women's shelter, they've been overseeing all the toy stuff.
They'll be in charge of getting the toys out, getting the toys, separating the toys for the different apartment. Like I say, we got about 6 apartments, and then our church is going to be huge. The toy giveaway there is going to be huge. So the women got their work cut out, separating the toys and getting them ready to go out to different places and stuff. And so, yeah, everybody's like a bunch. We got a lot of little Santa's helpers right now.
Yeah. You got, it's like you got a well-oiled machine. People come in need, and they're blessed, but then they return the blessing.
Mm-hmm. And most of them, like any of us, love it, you know, doing things like that, especially to help other people and children and families and different things. So the monies that the tree lot has generated this year is designated toward expanding. And this year we have our eyes on some apartments. And there's a fourplex of apartments there in that same neighborhood where our church is at. And those apartments, all the time they board it up. They may move people in, they'll move out, and then they board it up again. They had a for sale sign on it for one time, and I don't know what happened, but we got an eye on them. And with those apartments, that would give us 17 rooms for homeless families like
wow.
that. So, you know, we asking God to hear our prayer and grant us our desire.
And with the Christmas tree sales, as you said, that's if all works well, that's going to be a good chunk of down payment on those apartments.
Sure it is, sure. And that's exactly where we headed.
So how much longer will the Christmas tree sales? Of course, folks are hearing us on Saturday and Sunday, and, of course, we're just hours away now from Christmas Eve. When are you going to wrap it all up?
Well, if you're listening to this Sunday, is that the way you say it?
If you're hearing this on Sunday.
this is it. We plan on going home Sunday. We've got probably about 85 trees right now sitting on the lot.
Okay.
And so we want to get rid of those, get them in somebody's hand. In fact, right now is the best time to buy a Christmas tree. The prices are down for a quick sale.
All trees must go.
all trees must go.
Is that you still have both the Fresno and the Kerman operations open until Sunday?
Probably Kerman will probably close down Saturday.
Okay.
Ken, I tell you, speaking about Kerman, you know, God has always got a bigger picture than we can always see.
Yeah.
You know, and I've noticed that. In fact, we were just teaching where God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we even ask or think. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what we're thinking is nothing compared to what God is thinking.
Yeah.
And what we're praying is like a little bit compared to what God is getting ready to, yeah. to bring up on the screen. Kerman, we went out there to help raise funds to expand the women's home. There's a good brother out there. In fact, Butch Risconi's family, and they opened up to us in a parking lot out there. And like I said, we were just going, and our whole focus was to expand the women's home. But when we got out there, we understood that God was wanting to do something else besides the women's home. We found out Kerman has one of the greatest problems there is when it comes to methamphetamine. Matter of fact, Brother Billy shared with me that it's so bad out there. There was one man that moved from Madera to get away from the problem in Madera. And he said when he moved to Kerman, his problem quadrupled and his life just turned upside down. And that's because the accessibility of it. And then again, we in one of those towns where it's like kind of out in the country, way out in the where a lot of the laboratories operate at, probably where it's a lot more potent and a lot more accessible, a lot cheaper, and all those things to make it easier for people to consume it. So it looks like it may be a possible door opened up to go back to Kerman and do a work and a rally against methamphetamine. So, we just don't know for sure yet, but I can see the hand of God leading us in that direction.
You throughout the years, you said that one of the pivotal scriptures was always the man from Macedonia, and you made reference to that in regards to Kerman.
Yeah, I can kind of picture the man from Macedonia that we read about in the Bible, saying, "Come and help us." I'm already kind of hearing it and kind of seeing it, and so, I'm not surprised because I know this is the area where God called me. I know it's the will of God for my life to do things like that, to get out in the community and stir the people up, and call those people out of those lifestyles. And whatever we can to fight against those problems. So I can just, almost say just about for certain we'll be going to Kerman with a rally against methamphetamine.
Going back again to the Christmas tree lots, which, again, every penny invested in a Christmas tree through the Feed My Sheep lots helps make that reality of expanding shelter for women and children even greater. The Kerman lot probably will be wrapping up things on Saturday, if you're hearing this on Saturday. The Kerman lot, again, located just east of the community of Kerman. It's on Highway 145, also known as Madera Avenue, in between Ashland and Dakota. Did I get that right?
You got it correct.
I got it burned into my memory. Again, the Kerman lot probably be closing down on Saturday. The original lot in Fresno, Shields Avenue, a couple of blocks west of Blackstone, they're going to be open there until Sunday, but Sunday apparently is the last day for that one. So if you want to grab yourself a Feed My Sheep Christmas tree and help not only feed but house a family, Saturday at Kerman and Sunday in Fresno are the last days to do that. And like Bruce said, they probably cut you some deals because they want to get rid of those trees and go home.
You said it right. Go home. But I do want to say to a lot of the listeners, there was a lot of listeners that showed up at the tree lot, and they bought a tree. And I know that there's tree lots all around them. They're everywhere. But they went out of their way to come to Feed My Sheep Ministries to support what we're doing. And I want to say to you, thank you for supporting Feed My Sheep Ministries. And we're going to continue to do what we're doing all the way to the end. So, again, thank you for supporting Feed My Sheep Ministries. I think this is probably the best year we had also, too, Ken, with tree sales.
That's great.
There was a lot of listeners from KRDU that came out. So, and then we want to say thank you to KRDU for being such a good broadcasting station to get those waves out.
Hey, we're partners in ministry, you know. We're both working for the same cause.
Amen, amen.
So, did you bring any prayer requests with you this week, Bruce Hood?
Yes, I did. In fact, I have a praise report. I think we shared this last week, but I really didn't have the information. But Suzanne, we was one of the original ones that we started praying for when we started our prayer line on KRDU. And Suzanne has been healed of acid reflux. And from what I heard about this disease or this illness, it is very, very bad. And Suzanne said she almost died. She was just hanging on the edge of life. And she says because there was people out there that prayed for her on KRDU, she's been healed. And she's going to live. She's not going to die. So she wanted me to share with everyone that's listening to let you know thank you for praying for her. You know, and it's very important, Ken, that we pray, because we continue to get praise reports like this. And it's not no coincidence. It's not something by chance. It's because a prayer has been made. And as Christian, we got to believe that prayer is actually reaching the throne of God, and God is responding.
Well, the book says the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous has power like dynamite.
That's right. It avails much, man. Nothing can stop it, because it's God now that's responding to my prayer. Linda has kidney failure. So if someone can pray for Linda, she would really, really appreciate it. Diane has a cancer in the throat. She's asking for those people that will pray to please pray for her. Angie has a bad heart. Apparently the doctors don't know exactly what to do or even how to do it. It's such a serious condition. But pray for Angie. Peter has an aneurysm, brain aneurysm. Pray for Peter. And Holly has colon cancer. So.
Probably a good addition to the prayer list there would be for all of the families and loved ones of all of the victims of that terrible shooting at the Connecticut Elementary School last week. I mean, we talk about Christmas being a tough time for some folks. Can you imagine the Christmas some of those families are going to be facing this year without their little one in the house?
You can. I wouldn't even want to go through what these people are feeling right now. You know, it's probably every parent's whole concern is their children. And, you know, even when our children are not doing good, it's the worst trial that we can actually face. I heard one pastor said a long time ago, I never will forget it. You know, when Job said that the thing that I feared the most has come upon me, and I heard a pastor say years ago when I first started preaching that probably what Job was mentioning was what happened with his kids. The thing that I feared the most has come upon me. And that's probably one of our greatest fears as a parent, our children. So to go through what these people are going through, man, I wouldn't want to be there. So my heart goes out for them, and my prayer is going up for them because of what they're going through. It's terrible.
We as parents, if we're at least average parents, we would be the ones, we would step in front of the child and take the bullet for the child. So, again, just keep all those grieving folks in your prayers because it's going to be a tough season for them. Speaking of kids, how many kids and grandkids are you going to be around for Christmas?
I got 14 grandchildren. And we're having our Christmas over at my house. So I'll be hosting Christmas for my whole family.
You haven't been busy enough the past few weeks, have you?
Well, luckily I got Aaron. Aaron is getting everything prepared while I'm doing everything else.
Good old Aaron the granddaughter.
Yeah. So we'll have them all over. And while Aaron's preparing the house and everybody else getting the food ready, I'll be preparing a hot message to preach. This is the only time at holidays when I get everybody that don't come to church and everybody that don't, they there. We're going to get an opportunity to share the gospel and the reality of the reason for the season.
There you go. Well, that's it. We are out of time for the Hours Before Christmas edition of the broadcast from Feed My Sheep Ministries. If you've ever got questions about the ministry, how you can be involved in whatever way, shape, or form God might be dropping into your heart, you can reach Bruce Hood in the 559 area code, 978-5469, 978-5469. I suspected that was your phone doing all that ringing. It was, wasn't it?
Somebody's after me.
A lot of somebodies are after you. Bless you, Bruce, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Ken, and Merry Christmas to all you listeners. God bless you. Continue to pray for us, and we'll continue to serve God here in the city of Fresno.
And thank you for joining us for the broadcast from Feed My Sheep Ministries of Fresno.